Indeed, it is good to be in God's house this morning, to be worshiping with our family here at Hominy. I can't pay you for that introduction. I just can't. But I do say thank you because the feeling is mutual. We love you and Corinne and your family and this fellowship that has been established here, and we just say thank you. And Joe and Corinne, they have been a part of who Regina and I are, and I don't even know if y'all remember, but 29 years ago today, on the 8th of October, we got married. So 29 years ago, and I want to share this with Hominy. Regina was mentioning yesterday, I think it was, the ministerial staff at Tridestone. There's me, and then we have four associate ministers, two who are married to each other. And one couple celebrated their 19th anniversary this month. We're celebrating our 29th anniversary this month. Another couple celebrated their 39th yesterday. And the other couple, I don't remember which month it was, but they celebrated their 49th wedding anniversary. So we are just grateful for God's blessings upon families at Tridestone. But again, and thank you for putting up with me, Regina. I'm saying that publicly because that's it. She ain't saying it no more. She, take what you can get, okay? It has been a good ride, an interesting ride. But it's been good. And maybe in another 29 years, I'll have her whooped into shape, and she'll be doing it right, but we'll see. I told her if she would just do what I tell her to do, it would be okay, but she don't like to listen. No, she's a good catch. She's a good catch. Sometimes. Okay. But I do again say thank you for us being here and for what God has to say to us today. I'm not going to reread the scripture, but I do want to just ask you to remember verse 16, that familiar passage, that familiar verse which we have all probably known since we were very small. But as we begin this morning, and again, I'm using the thought, love lifted me. And as we begin this morning, I want to ask you to do me a favor, and I want you to think about this question that I'm going to ask you. Have you ever been in a pool or some body of water, and as you're walking in the water, all of a sudden, without any notice, it's as if the bottom drops from under you? You know, you're just enjoying the pool, you're enjoying the water, whatever. And as you're making your way, you just drop. As if the bottom has disappeared. And the reason I say that, when I was probably about 13, 14 years old, there was a large pond that had been dug in a field behind my grandmother's house. And we had been told, don't go get in that water. But our neighbor friend came over, and me and my brothers, we all went traipsing across the field to the water. Didn't know how to swim. We all got in that water, and we're all just, you know, having fun. And then all of a sudden, I found myself underwater. And I don't know if anybody else has ever experienced that. But the thoughts that go through your mind, and you try not to panic. You try to convince yourself that it's going to be okay. But I knew I was in trouble. I knew that I had done what I wasn't supposed to do, and it was coming back to get me. But luckily, the guy that was with us, I was close enough that he could reach out and grab me. He pulled me back to where I had footing in the water. Nobody had to tell me to get out the water. Nobody had to say, you need to get out the water. I immediately got out the water, got dressed, and started heading back for the house. Now, to my knowledge, Grandma never knew. Mama never knew. Nobody ever knew because I didn't get a beating. And had they had found out, we'd all got a beating. But nobody knew. But think about it. There you are in the water. The bottom falls out. No footing. Nothing to secure yourself to. You do all that you can to get your head above water, to take a breath of air, to reassure yourself that it's going to be okay. It's in this moment that you're doing all that you can to fight off the feeling of panic, the feeling of helplessness. It's the feeling of panic and helplessness. If the feeling of panic and helplessness sets in, what are your chances? It may be the end. It may be the last there is of you. But as I thought about this, I thought about the fact that as we go through life, we are constantly being bombarded with things that we don't understand, and oftentimes things that we don't agree with. It is then that we must decide, what are we going to do? Will we fight against it, or do we just silence our voices so as not to rock the boat? I don't know about you, but it becomes difficult for me when I hear and see people that I have considered friends saying and doing things that just really don't seem right. It seems out of character. It seems out of the ordinary. But however, daily we are being confronted with the reality that things are not and may not be the way that we have thought they were for so long. Now, some of you might be saying, well, what is he talking about? With all the things that are going on in our world today, all the things that we see on the news, all the things that we read about on social media, I have had the opportunity to witness and to read responses from people that I have considered friends. And I actually have to question, were they really my friends? Because their response would cause me to think that maybe they didn't think as much of me as I thought they did. Maybe they didn't understand me the way I thought they understood me. But what do you do? How do you deal with those times when people that you consider your friends have opposing viewpoints? Or they see things completely different than you see them. Do you get into a debate over who's right and who's wrong? Do you get into a disagreement trying to figure out, trying to force them to see things the way you see them? How do you deal with that? I had a friend that posted something on social media, and I want to read that to you, and then I'll move into John 3. This is what my friend wrote. He says, "Now's not the time for us to become armchair theologians, nor is it the time for us to become political pundits. In the midst of tragedy is where we become or continue to be intentionally compassionate and intentionally look for opportunities to show love to each other. It is where our humanity reasserts itself against the forces that have tried to calm it down. Friends, there is no weapon or power on earth or beyond that can defeat the heart and mind that have decided to love in spite of. Love is the only thing that can turn the worst condition into an opportunity to be our best selves. I'm not saying that it's easy or natural, but it has to come. It has and can continue to be done if we commit to doing it. Tragedy often leaves us feeling helpless, but exercising love and compassion gives us an opportunity to push back against the feeling in a powerful way. We legislate and we exegete, but do we do it looking through the lens of love and compassion?" When I read this statement, when I thought about what he says, I looked at it, and there's four places in this statement that he uses the word love. He says, to show love, to love, five places, excuse me. To show love, to love in spite of. Love is the only thing that can turn the worst condition into an opportunity to be our best selves. But exercising love and compassion gives us an opportunity to push back against that feeling of power in a powerful way. And then he says, looking through the lens of love and compassion. Scripture in Romans 8:35 through 39, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, but we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. But what is this love? What does this love look like? What does this love feel like? What does this love act like? What when we look around, do we see the love of God in our fellow man? Do we respond with the love of God? Or are we responding out of our natural self? Are we responding out of the way we see things? Are we responding because somebody has hurt us? Or do we really take the time to respond in love? I might not look like you. I might not sound like you. I might not act like you. But do you understand that what you have, if you're a believer in God, if you're a believer in His Son, I have the same thing. It was His love that lifted us. It was His love that reached down and met us where we were. We were all on our way to hell, but in spite of who we were, in spite of what we had done, in spite of the condition we were in, God loved us. He didn't respond to us based on what we had done to Him, but He responded in love. You and I were sinking far from the peaceful shore. We were all deeply stained with sin, and we were sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. It was love that lifted me. It was His love that when I was a sinner, it was His love that allowed me to hear the word that caused me to understand that even though I was a sinner, I needed to be born again. I needed a new outlook on life. It wasn't that I deserved it. It wasn't that I earned it. But simply because He loved me. His love lifted me. It was His love that found me where I was. I wasn't all cleaned up. I wasn't ready to come and enter into His gates with thanksgiving because I had some issues I had to deal with. I had some things that I had been carrying. I had some things that needed to be fixed. But the problem was I could not fix it for myself. I could not clean myself up and present myself to God and say, here I am, take me and use me. But I was a mess. I was messed up. And the only way I could be used was His love had to come to where I was. His love met me. His love didn't stand on the side and say, when you get ready, when you clean yourself up, I'm here waiting on you. But His love came to where I was in my mess. His love walked with me. His love told me that there is a better way. His love assured me that God loved me. His love assured me that God had provided for me. If I would just turn to His Son, if I would just embrace what His Son had done for me. So how do we respond? How do we respond to those that think differently? How do we respond to those who criticize what we do? We've got to respond in love. We've got to respond with compassion. We've got to be intentional. Even when I don't like what you're doing to me, I've got to see you through the lens of love. I've got to understand that one day I was in a position where when God looked at me, I was deserving of being cast away. Pushed to the side. But in spite of what I look like, God saw me through the lens of love and He provided what I needed. He provided a Savior. He provided a Redeemer. He provided a sacrifice for me. No, I can't sacrifice for you, but I can love you. I can embrace you. I can show you His love, because if we truly understand what the love of God is in our lives, we ought to be willing to share that with those that we come in contact with. I don't have time to
to fight battles on Facebook. I don't have time to fight battles on Twitter. I don't have time to disagree with all those who disagree with me. Sometimes we've got to realize that sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut and love. The best thing you can do sometimes is just be quiet. Show love. Show compassion. It's not going to be easy. But when you think about it, it was love that saved you. It was love that came to where you were. It was love that allowed you to get things right. It's that same love that if we would embrace today, that same love would cause us to realize that we're all different. But I can love you. Even when we differ on how we see things. I don't have to fight you. We can agree to disagree. But I can love you. Because love is the answer to what we're going through. Love is the answer. We will not see eye to eye. And I'm one that I try not to bring politics into my sermons. I don't want to try to sway anybody to think the way I think. But I will tell you this. As a people, we need to pray for our president. We need to pray for our elected officials. Even if you disagree with them, pray for them. Even if you don't understand why they're doing what they're doing, pray for them. Because another election's going to come. Somebody else is going to be elected. Somebody ain't going to like them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Show them love. Love will. Love. The Bible tells us love will cover a multitude. Not just one or two, but a multitude. A multitude. Of sin. Love. Do you understand that? Scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting. His love covered not just my sins, not just your sins, but it covered all of our sins. His love. Now, and you might be saying, but I don't have I can't love like that. Have you tried? Have you tried? I don't like them. Have you tried? Did you ever think when you were an enemy of God's, God didn't like you? But he loved you. And he loved you enough that he gave his son. I could offer Stephen up right now. Ain't going to help nobody in here. No, nobody. 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 But God gave his son for you and for me. And when we realize that it was his love that lifted us. It was his love that saved us. And we began to respond to each other in love. We'll find that a whole lot of the issues we're dealing with will go away. Simply because love, it's not what I want. But what does love want? What is love trying to do? There are those that, if they knew what was going on here today, they'd be upset with us. But you know what? We got to love them in spite of. We've got love
can change a person's outlook. Love can change a person's disposition. When God's love came to where you were, think about the condition you were in and think about the change that His love has made in your life. Think about what you used to do, and that was the only thing you knew to do. But God's love has shown you, God's love has embraced you, God's love has let you know that there is another way. And not only that, but His love will mold you into what He wants you to be. We can be brothers and sisters right here because of His love. So I want to encourage us just to remember that it was His love that lifted us. It was His love that pulled back the scales of our eyes and allowed us to see that we were sinners and that He had provided a way for us. And when we embrace that, we understand that His love will continue to carry us.